My name's Larry. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you all for being here, and thank you for having me. I am really grateful to be at this meeting and be up here speaking. I came through with Veterans Village, and we bring the van here every weekend so that the newcomers can get the message. We're on lockdown for 30 days, and you know, I came in this room, and I did not ever think I was going to be as well as I feel today. It's truly a miracle. You know, I was looking at the traditions up here, and it says the only requirement is a desire to stop drinking, but that entry fee is a motherfucker. Before I got in Alcoholics Anonymous, I had the Jeep, I had the Harley, I had all the toys, and now I'm sober, and I've got a bunk bed with some other guys, and a dog, and a skateboard. And I'm happier now than I ever was then, you know? It's great, you know? I'm a little sunburnt today. I'm not red because I'm nervous, I swear. I was at the Vista Viking Festival with my beautiful girlfriend, and we were walking through the beer garden area, you know, and they had mead. And I was like, I've never tried mead, you know, but I heard an old timer in these rooms say, you know, the alcohol may be different, but the handcuffs feel the same, you know. And that's true, and that's where I end up. I grew up in this neighborhood. I went to Patrick Henry High School. My parents were alcoholics, too. And I learned very early that we don't talk about family problems, we don't discuss those things, and as long as you were successful and showed up to life and did work and stuff like that, you could do whatever you wanted at home behind closed doors. And I believe, you know, I don't know for a fact which came first, but I suffered from mental illness and depression at a very early age. You know, I don't know if the alcoholism and drugs caused that, but I remember feeling isolated and alone and all that before I ever took a drink in my life. And when I first took that first alcohol, like, I hear so much here, you know, and I found my friends on the street, and they were like real family to me. And, you know, they didn't tell me I was a worthless piece of shit, and they didn't, you know, beat me unless I deserved it, you know, or check me. But when I took that first drink, I remember I was sitting at a junior high school up here in the middle of the night, and I'd stolen a case of beer from my dad, and I had four MGDs out of a can, and, you know, all that went away, and I felt great, and I felt normal, and I felt loved, and I felt like I could be who I wanted to be and not judged for the first time in my life. Like I've heard from so many people, that helped me with girls. It helped me, you know, show up to school, and I learned how to cope, and I learned one coping mechanism, and I actually had two, that and intimidation. Those were the two things. You know, it's funny, Brian asked me, I was texting him before the meeting tonight. I was like, is there a dress code here? You know, and this is not how I normally dress. And, like, the tattoos on my head don't give away what kind of alcoholic I am. You know, I don't know. I was sent to AA, well, my first rehab at 17. You know, that East County biker meth when you're, you know, back in the 90s was pretty crazy. But, you know, I remember, like, you know, I'd heard the stories about AA, and I had this picture in my head of, you know, the dirty, dingy room, smoke-filled room with, you know, people shaking and the hobos with the brown bags. And the first meeting they took me to was downtown, and it was just like that. And, you know, I was like, this is not the place for me. Then I read the big book, and it was about this, you know, broke-ass stockbroker, veteran, you know, who was an old man with a shot-out marriage, and I was like, I have nothing in common with this guy either. So I went out, and I got married, and I joined the Army, and I got all those things Bill W. had. And, you know, I always joke, Catholic school, jail, juvenile hall, the Army, three wives, and none of it could change me. They all thought they could make me fit into something that I wasn't. And, you know, I'm still here. When I got sober this time, I was in a very black place, man. I was miserable. I was angry. I was alone. And I never thought I was going to get better. 5 minutes, okay. I feel great today. And that all came from starting to be of service. I was talking to some guys before the meeting. I got a coffee commitment, and I showed up every week. And all of a sudden, that became the most important thing in the world to me, and I hung on to that. And my name started to mean something, and I started to be depended upon. And that felt really good, and it felt like for the first time I was following through with something. And then you do those things like volunteering and working the steps and all the things we do around here, and you start to get this weird feeling in you that's like this real pride, you know, and this real sense of like you're a part of the world again. And like I hadn't felt that since I, you know, first came home in my Army uniform. My parents saw me and the way my parents looked at me when I was in that uniform. My mom was an alcoholic in recovery. She got sober around the same time as I got sent to rehab. She had 7 years sober, and then I had to watch her go back out and die of this disease. She died of cirrhosis of the liver. My dad did too. He was never a smoker, but he drank whiskey every day and died of throat cancer. I've seen what this disease does to families, and I've seen what it does to the people I love. And these were, you know, beautiful, educated people, you know, and just, it doesn't discriminate, you know. I've heard you can be too smart for AA, but not too stupid, you know. And, you know, when I first got here, I knew everything. And when I got here this time, I was like a shaking wet dog, and I didn't know a thing, man. And all I wanted to do was just sit in the back and not be noticed. And I want to look as scary as possible so y'all don't talk to me. And then I can say, look, see, they don't like me. They don't accept me. I'm not a part of. But you guys understand that. And, you know, I've found so much love in these rooms. You know, there's so many faces that showed up tonight to support me. And it's truly amazing. I still live right now at Veterans Village. I've been there for a year and a half. I started following all these things that they told me to do. Go stay in a recovery home for a year. Don't get in a relationship. And I couldn't have done any of those things. I was just like a mess for the first 9 months. And I held onto that seat. And there were times where I grabbed my bag and I was storming out the front door, you know, and the gods put someone in my way that talked me down off the ledge. And, you know, it's just truly amazing that it stuck this time. A year and a half later, I just started a job at the VA hospital. I'm working there. I have back that sense of honor I felt. My daughter's in my life again. She's 20 years old, and she told me to piss off. I raised her. Her mom was one of us and took off. I've had three wives. The first one I met in NA, the second one I met in the strip club, and the third one I met on a locked mental health unit. So, you know, my picker's a little broken, you know. My decisions haven't gotten better as I've gotten older. They've gotten worse. But I have a 20-year-old daughter. She's a beautiful, young, educated, street-smart woman, and she's doing it on her own, and I couldn't be prouder. I just recently got some time back. I have Sundays with my son again. I'm working towards moving back here so I can be in his life full time. And, you know, I hadn't had the guts to walk into a courtroom in 10 years and face his mom or, you know, and I can do all those things now. And I have a sponsor that can walk me through it. And I have friends who were there to hold my hand and help me through those tough times. And, I didn't have any of that. I was so lonely. I had an inflatable mattress and a bong and a bottle and a shotgun. That was it. And I didn't know which one I was going to put in my mouth next. You know, I can't say enough about what this program has done for me. And I didn't think it was going to happen. And there was two words I hated, you know, and it was God and honesty. And, you know, those are two things that are kind of important if you're going to stick around, whatever that is for you. I'm still an unrepentant heathen, but I really appreciate you guys having me. This program's a lot of fun. I get to do a lot of cool stuff with people in recovery. I've been to concerts. I've gone on camping trips. You know, you're only as miserable as you want to be around here. And if you want to participate, there are things to do, but you got to put yourself out there. I recommend getting a phone number, call and using it, get a commitment and go to meetings and stick around. I promise you, you won't be disappointed in what you become. Thank you. Yes.